lesson this first Sunday in Lent is Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, you as an inheritance possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The psalm this morning is Psalm 91. Verses 1 through 2 and 9 to 16, and we shall read this together.
You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No scourge come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample under your foot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation."
The second lesson this morning is Romans chapter 10, verses 8b through 13. "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the readings this morning.
By the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for this has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hand they will bear you up so you do not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to a test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from them until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite any children who'd like to join me to come up and hold this message. I know we have a couple in the prayer room. They're way back there. Come on up. Come on up. I'm going to have you come up on this top step. Can you come up on the top step? Of course. Thanks. Ellie, come up here. I need you on the top step. You're one of the shorter ones in preschool. You never get to stand on the top step. Come on up. Top step. Top step. Good. Hurry up, guys. Top step is a wait. Oh, you closed the door on someone. Oh, Ben, come on, guys. Top step. Top step. Top step. Yeah, Ewan can stay with you on the top step. Come on, guys. So, I want to show you something. Come on. I want to show you. Let me bring this up here. I have a word for you. Any of you know what this word is? Oh, say it again. Yahweh, have you heard this before? You've never heard this before? You know how to pronounce it, huh? I put a pronunciation key down here. Yeah. Yahweh. You know what this word means? Yahweh. What this word Yahweh means? That way? That's a pretty good guess. Ellie, do you think your mom might know?
That way?
This way? That way?
That way.
No. Actually, what Yahweh means is it's another name for?
The Bible.
Not the Bible. Keep guessing. Pretty close. It's another name for God. You're right. Yeah, it's another name for God. And so I wanted you to help me because I thought, well, God is usually someone we like to celebrate, right? So I'm going to have you help me with something. I need everybody to stand up on the top step. You guys are going to help me. Kind of like, have you ever seen, stand up on the top step. Have you ever seen at, like, sporting games or people were cheering when they spell letters with their hands, or maybe they're doing the dance, the YMCA? Have you ever seen that? You go to YMCA, do they do YMCA? Okay, well, we're going to do kind of close. We're going to do the Yahweh. So, give me a Y. Oh, you're going to need both hands, Ellie. You're going to need both hands. Y, A, H, and then we make a W, kind of when we make it squat. W, E, H. Let's try it again, all the way on the top step so everybody out there can see you. Maybe they'll follow along. Ready? Y, A, H. W, E, H. Y-A-H, W-E-H. Are they doing it?
Yeah.
They are? One more time, really big. Y-A-H, W-E-H. Bigger Maria is, that's good, huh? Well, good, you can all sit down now. So that was kind of fun to do something loud and with our arms and movements, but sometimes it's okay to be, sometimes it's okay to be maybe when we're praying with God, we don't have to be loud and moving our arms, but we can be quiet. And when we pray, we close our eyes and we open our ears. To do what? To hear it, to listen, Ben. Yeah, to listen. That's exactly right. So I want to teach you a very simple prayer. You ready? Toy sitting down. Liam, Ben, toy sitting down. Ben, toy sitting down. Just put it on the ground then. All right, so I want you to do this with me. Ready? Yahweh, we're going to breathe in. We're going to go, yah. Ready? Say, yah, as you breathe in. Yah. And then as we breathe out, we're going to say, weh. So try it again with me. Ready? Yah. Weh. Yah. Weh. Maybe they'll do it with us. Did you hear how quiet it got? And sometimes in those really quiet spaces, we can hear God talking to us. So sometimes when life gets really crazy and all the big grown-up people are walking and moving and talking so fast around you, maybe you can sit in a quiet place and do your Yahweh prayer. Yahweh. Yahweh. Okay. Thank you so much for helping me pray today. You can head back to your seats.
Yeah. Let's change up.
Lord Jesus Christ, on this first Sunday in Lent, we pray that you walk with us during our journey of Lent. We pray that we realize you are not some God far off, but you are as close to us as even our own breath. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This gospel lesson of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness is probably a familiar one to you if you've been in the church for at least a year. Because every first Sunday of Lent, the beginning of every Lent, this lesson comes up. It's in all the different Gospels, and it's told a little bit different, but this story of Jesus going out and being tempted by Satan in the wilderness is the start of our Lenten season. And it's got good reason to. I mean, Jesus goes out and is tempted for 40 days. Our Lenten season is 40 days. Jesus is tempted by some of the earthly riches, by power, and by protection, and by bread. And oftentimes we use Lent as a time to separate ourselves from those things that tempt us, like coffee and chocolate, Starbucks, and really lousy television. But I think the real reason that we have this at the beginning of our Lenten season is because of where Jesus goes during this temptation. Satan doesn't meet him in the temple or in the marketplace, but he is tempted and tested out in the wilderness. Out in the wilderness. And I think that location is important because all of us at some time will face our own wilderness. We'll all face our own desert, our own wilderness, and it'll look a little different for each and every one of us, no matter what journey we are on. Now, don't get me wrong, wilderness can be beautiful. It can be gorgeous, and it can be life-fulfilling. On Friday, I had some family out from the Midwest, and we went to Joshua Tree. Lived here 10 years, never been there before. That place is beautiful. All you Californians know that? It's gorgeous. There were these weird Dr. Seuss trees and giant boulders, and it was beautiful. And I live, I grew up living a couple hours from the Boundary Waters, Canoe Area Wilderness, one of the largest natural water and lake preserves in the country. And my family would go camping there several times throughout the summer, and you go in and you don't see anyone but who you're camping with for 3 or 4 days. And it is my little taste of heaven on earth. It is the most beautiful place I have ever, ever been. So wilderness can be a place of great beauty, but it can also be a place that's very scary. As we were driving through Joshua Tree on Friday, we would, they give you a map as you come in, and then we would get out and take this, walk, and we'd do these short, like, mile-long walks, and we did several of these. But you go around a corner, and all of a sudden, you're in wilderness. You're in a place where nothing looks familiar, and being a 21st century American, the first thing I do is pull out my phone to open up my GPS. Guess what? No wireless signal anywhere in Joshua Tree. And they warn you that as you go in, take this map, your GPS will not work in most places in the park. And one time my aunt and I were walking around, and it was not hard. I mean, we were like 7 whole minutes from our car. But we walked around, I said, I wonder how far this goes. And I pull up my phone, and I couldn't pull up any map. And for just a split second, there was panic. What if we took the wrong path?
What if we're lost out here in the desert? We weren't, you know, I could walk a minute back and see my vehicle. So it wasn't that I was really lost, but there's that moment of fear of feeling lost. When I was 9 years old, I was on a camping trip with my family, and I got lost in the wilderness, in the Boundary Waters, my favorite place, still the most beautiful place I've ever been to. I got lost there. It's one of the most terrifying places I've ever been. I was camping. There were two of our families camping together, and we were staying on an island about the size of our parking lot, not real big, you know, so you couldn't get lost. But there were six of us kids. The girls were really little. The boys were my age, so I wanted to hang out with the boys, and they were having none of that. So we were out playing in the woods, and they decided they didn't want a girl with them, so they started throwing pine cones at me. My brother got in really big trouble for that later on. But the important thing is that I turned and I left, and I was going back to our campsite, but I somehow got lost. And as a little 9-year-old who had been camping enough, I said, "Find the shoreline, it'll lead you back to your camping ground. Into your campsite." And this is way out there, rustic. So I found the shore, and I was walking along it, and then I fell in. So I was wet up to my knees. So I get back, I finally get to the campsite, and it is deserted. And I'm thinking, what did I do? Well, here everyone from our campsite, our family, had gotten in a canoe and paddled over to the other side of the island to visit the other. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I am legitimately lost in the woods. My feet are wet. There is no one here. I'm 9, and I don't know what to do. Well, eventually my dad got to the other end, saw the boys who had been throwing pine cones, said, "Oh, you are in trouble," and paddled back to pick me up. But for those few minutes, I was lost in the wilderness. And that same sort of fear that I had as a child creeped in for just a split second on Friday when we were in Joshua Tree. When people talk about being in the wilderness or feeling like they're in a wilderness or in a desert, it's usually not in a pleasant experience. It's more along the lines of, "I was in the wilderness. I felt lost." And a lot of us will have some sort of feeling like this in our lifetime. Everybody's wilderness experience looks a little bit different. Maybe it's sitting in that hospital waiting room, hour after hour after hour, waiting for your loved one's surgery to be done and not knowing where it's going, feeling lost in that time of waiting. Maybe it's being in a bad marriage that is loveless or abusive or harmful and feeling lost, like there is no way out, like there is no way to live a full life. Maybe your kids are struggling. Maybe your children are having a hard time at school. They're struggling with friends. They're having a hard time with their classwork and their teachers. And you think, "I just want to love my kid, but I feel so lost." Or maybe you are one of those kids where school feels like a never-ending round of bullies and not fitting in. And you think, "I go to school every day, and every day I feel lost." There's an Episcopal priest and a noted theologian named Barbara Brown Taylor, and she calls our times like this wilderness exams. Wilderness exams. And she says, each of us goes through our own wilderness exams, our own trip to the desert to discover who we really are and what our lives are really about. So I'm sure some of you are sitting all thinking, "Thanks, Pastor, really bumming us out. You know, way to start us with the good news of Lent." But I think there is good news in this. You can't see it when you're in the middle of feeling lost, but there is good news, because going through the temptation, going through the desert, taking your wilderness exam is hard. It is difficult, but you can go through it. It's a difficult thing to go through, but it can also be a spirit-filled, life-changing journey that brings us closer to God. Maybe sitting in that waiting room was a time that set aside hours of silent prayer for you, and you maybe haven't talked to God in a few days or weeks or months or years. Maybe struggling through a bad marriage or a bad relationship made you go through it to realize, wait, I know what it's like to really be loved. And God has made me a lovable person. I should seek a relationship in which I am valued and loved. Sometimes we need to go through the wilderness to have that change. And Jesus went through that too. Jesus went through his 40 days in the wilderness with nothing to eat and was continually tempted by Satan. And yet at the end of it, he was free. Our lesson ends at verse 13, but let me read verse 14 for you. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. There is and was nothing left in this life that could tempt Jesus anymore. His wilderness exam had strengthened and fortified him with the refiner's fire of the wilderness. This happened at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry to prepare him for the difficulty of what his life in mission and ministry would be, and even leading up to his death on the cross. Sometimes I wonder if that's why people have to go through adolescence so early in life. To strengthen them. Because if you can get through junior high, you can get through just about anything. 40 days and nights, Jesus was alone in the wilderness with no food, no rest, no power, and no protection. Only temptation. And during that time, he had to trust in God, his Father, to preserve him. For 40 days of Lent, they can serve as a practice exam, preparing us for when we face our own desert, when we face our own loss, when we face our own wilderness. There's a practice that several people I know are doing called the 40 Days of Giving Away. It's one of the things I've heard of where people, each day during Lent, they find something in their house that they no longer need and they give it away, they donate it. Maybe for those people, that 40 days of giving away is preparing them for an economic downturn or a loss of a job or a loss of a home. Maybe living with less will be what your wilderness is like. It's different for every person. It's different for me. I'm a clutter clearer, so this is not a good practice for me. But there's also one where it's 40 days of giving up a cell phone. Yeah, oh, some people are already rolling their eyes. It's not easy. Some of you, it may be very easy. You know, some of you may be like, I haven't picked mine up since last Thursday. For you, this is not a challenge. For me, it would be difficult. I mean, I use my phone all the time. I'm using it to record this service right now. But one of the things I did was I took social media, all social media apps, off of my phone. And it may sound a little crazy, you know. Now keep in mind, I can still like log on my computer and utilize that. In fact, just last night I posted a Lenten prayer calendar. If you check the Emmanuel page or my personal page, it's a wonderful one called Busted Halo. But I took it off of my phone because I realized that so often when I was sitting somewhere, bored, maybe listening to a boring sermon, who knows, just waiting for something, I would pull out my phone and all of a sudden start flipping through Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever I had. And I realized that it's okay to use that tool to keep in touch with people, but I need to be more intentional about it. When it was right there in front of me, it was a distraction, an alternative to soothe or pacify me when I'm anxious or bored or lonely, or when I'm unwilling to spend a moment in the wilderness, in the quiet and clear presence of nothing else, and ask that question, who am I, and what is my life really about? Maybe that's my practice exam. We all have something in our lives that we use as a shield or headphones or dark glasses that we like to use as a way to hide or numb, not only from asking that question, who am I and what is this life really about, but also to protect us from listening to what God may be saying. Sometimes We need to listen in the silence and look out at the emptiness to make space in our cluttered world for God. And that's what Lent can be. And I know for some of you who this is a new practice, 40 days might seem like a long time. So make it smaller, make it 40 hours or 40 minutes or even 40 seconds. That's what we're going to try right now. 40 seconds. If you have a child with you who you think could participate, have them put stuff away. If you have a little one who's playing, give them something to play with. If you're somebody who's flipping through your bulletin because now is the time that you read what's going on in the church, I'm totally guilty of that. Sorry, Maria. Put your bulletin away. Close up your phone. Close your eyes. Let's spend 40 minutes. 40 minutes, 40 seconds, everyone. Panic there. 40 seconds. Listening into the silence of God. I'll time you. Don't worry about it. Let us begin. May you be blessed this Lent with the patience and serenity for silence to walk into the wilderness and hear the still, small voice of God. Amen.